Hello, everybody. This is Marco Ciappelli with Redefining Society podcast here on ITSP Magazine. It has been a pretty busy month, January. And by the time that you listen or see this, it may already be actually February. But January has been a busy month for me because the big event that everybody know at this point, we did cover remotely, but we did have a lot of conversation with people that participated at the CES event in Las Vegas, which is, as I often say lately, is the place where you foresee the future. It's the place where society and technology connect and our humanity. So this is not necessarily part of the coverage, but our guest today was a CS. He was speaking there, and we connected over a book that he wrote, which is about healthcare and artificial intelligence and his vision of an augmented humanity, let's say. And so, as you know, I like to talk about philosophy of technology, and I think this is a perfect conversation. So all the way from Paris, we have Emmanuel Moriand with us. Welcome to the show, Emmanuel.
Hi, Marco. Nice to meet you.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you here, and I have so many questions for you. But the first one is I will ask you to introduce yourself to the audience so they know who you are and where it comes your interest and knowledge of artificial intelligence, technology, and healthcare.
Okay. I have a long career, very different from technology at the beginning, because I was a loss adjuster for diamonds and fine arts at the beginning. And I went to technology just by the Bitcoins, because some friends offered me Bitcoins, and I say, what is this kind of token? I don't know anything about it. And I just tried to understand what was blockchain at the end, was 10 years ago. And I created two startups about blockchain and art, you know, we come to technology. And so it makes me make a passion about Web3, Metaverse, NFT, blockchain, and AI. So like I create a company that is, his aim is to teach people what is Metaverse, what is AI, how it works, what is useful for people tomorrow and maybe in the future. And it makes me happy to exchange, to make conference, to help people to understand what is ChatGPT. And at the moment, I'm doing lessons for people to use ChatGPT every day. And when you teach some people, when you make conference, you want to write something, okay? You want to transmit what you understand, what you learn, etc. And I write a first book about AI and ethics on September. And on December, I decided to write books about AI and health, because my wife is a doctor, okay? And I have a lot of friends that don't understand what AI can do for health. And due to my habits to work on AI, I saw lots of examples, and I want to traduce for every people what AI and health have in common. Okay, it's not a book for doctors, it's a book for everyone who wants to understand what else can do for them. And at the moment, which is very interesting, you have lots of people who don't understand anything about AI that want to read the books, because else, you say, Marco, is the future of humanity.
Absolutely. And I love your background, because, you know, even myself, I talk about technology all the time, but I'm certainly not a technologist by education. I'm not an engineer or a computer scientist. I'm actually come from political science. So that's nothing to do really with that. But I got, like you, interested in technology. First was, you know, social media, the internet, developing website for advertising. And I got more and more into the cybersecurity of things. So I like the idea that you also are not a technical person, because it makes it easier, I think, to explain to the everyday user and the everyday person that goes around with their smartphones, smart homes, smart cars, smart everything, and wearable to get close to the healthcare. And that oftentimes they say, well, it's too complicated for me to understand. So I like the idea that you're making it accessible. And how do you do this? What kind of example do you use in your book to make it understandable?
the fact is, we need to understand that at the moment we have begin the battle of the body, because we are at the end of the smartphone era, and we enter this new era, which the body will be the place AI is working. It means you can have smart glasses, smart belts, smart shoes, smart everything, but all these smart IoT will be in your body or on your body, and it can give you information of your health and avoid big disease, okay? And this point is very important for me, is to make people understand they will not have smartphone in the future. They will have something on their body to make them better health. You know, it's hard to explain, but it's my my conviction.
So that could be a little bit scary for a lot of people. Very sci-fi, maybe a little dystopian, because we can start talking about privacy, about identity, and about a lot of things that may make people very worried. I mean, we already worry with it when we have a phone that has a GPS on it, a watch that has a GPS on it. They always know if you where you are. But there is the good and the bad, right? There is the things that are positive about this for your safety, for your health, for many things. And then, of course, we have to deal with the ethics of maybe privacy. So how do you think people react to this? I mean, you're definitely excited about it, I can tell. But what about the everyday, average person?
The fact is, in France, we have a problem about hospitals, because hospitals are closing. There are not enough hospitals for people. It means they need to take 2 hours of cars to go to an hospital. Okay, so it's a medical desert in France. Due to that, if you need to have a doctor, you need to wait 2 months to have a doctor. And the future of health is you can have the doctor in your house. You can have all your survey by yourself. And if you need a doctor, it can say, go to the doctor now, and you have time to go, because it's quicker, and it's on a period you don't have big problems, you know. This is the first point, the desert health, desert medicals. And it means you need to have your doctor in your house, because you can't go to hospital because it's too far away, because there's not enough people to receive you into the hospitals. Second things, if you think about Web3, because we speak about AI, but it's Web3 on the top. All the data will be registered in blockchain, okay, with NFT. It means you are the owner of your data. It's your medical data. You create it with your IoT. But if you want to open data to a doctor, you can. But if you don't want, you say it private. It means if people are frightened by the way of all the data are measured every time, they can keep it secret. If they don't want, they have a choice to open the data to the doctor or not. And we have a big startup in France. Sorry for that. It's Galeon. And this startup was in the CES, and they won a lot of prize about it. They put all the hospital data in blockchain to avoid the store of data by pirates, okay, or hackers. And it's working. And now they protect the data of hospitals, and they will protect the data of private people by blockchain and AI. It's very important to understand that AI is not alone. AI with blockchain is a solution to protect the privacy of everyone, of you and me.
Yeah, it makes definitely sense to me. I had a few other conversation about the convergence of the blockchain and the way that it could be use to have a better use of AI. So definitely I agree with that. How do you think, here we can go in a little bit of maybe different culture, because again, when it comes to privacy, Europe, GDPR, we think in a certain way. I say we because I'm also European, but it doesn't apply to me when I'm not in Europe. So it's not about being European, it's about where you are. And how in the United States is left a little bit more to the market, how it reacts. So how do you perceive the blockchain to and the AI for healthcare to work in a way that what you describe, that you own your own data, can apply, it doesn't matter where you are in the world, and your privacy will be respected. Is it intrinsic in the blockchain concept that works everywhere, or certain legal and regulation are going to be different?
Okay, 2 points. You have GDPR in Europe, but now in California, they make a law about that, and they just use GDPR to protect the data. It means it's not only in France or in Italy. I think blockchain is for everyone in the world. It works everywhere. It works in China. It works in the US. It works in France. And due to the fact that people are very frightened by the way their personal health data will be used by other people, I think this blockchain concept to use AI and blockchain at the same time, I think it will be worldwide. It's my opinion, but I think it's not only for Europe.
And how about the medical field? Your wife is a doctor, you said, and how is technology received by the professional, the medical professional? Is it welcome? Is it already widely used? And what you described, do you think is going to be adopted very easily because it's needed, as you were describing about hospital being overwhelmed and it can resolve a lot of problem? Or do you think there's going to be some resistance in the profession?
I think, you know, we have a problem in France. It may be the same in US or in Italy. Hospitals are hacked by hackers and their data are stolen. So as 10 or 15 hospitals in France last year were hacked by people. And it's a very big problem in France. And this French startup, I mentioned Gerion, they succeeded in protecting 2 hospitals that were attacked by hackers last year. It means it's a big problem for hospitals to be protected. And this blockchain solution is not the only one. You have lots of startups in the world that are doing that, help hospitals to be protected. You know, this is very important things. Even if doctors are not very open-minded about blockchain because it's not the way of doing things, the hospitals is obliged to protect the data, and due to that, blockchain will be adopted by hospitals. And doctors will be convinced by hospitals because they are obliged to be inside an ecosystem.
Right. So that makes sense for the blockchain. Now, let's talk. Give me some example, if you can, about the way that AI is already used in the medical field, and maybe your vision to what is going to be the next steps on a larger adoption, and maybe even more way that AI will be used in the medical field.
You have lots of examples, but for silver economy, for old people, you have lots of tools driven by AI that can help them to stay at home. It means AI will be a big issue for them, because when a whole people fall down, he can die. He can stay 10 hours without someone knows that he's down. With small plugs, with AI, he can make a call automatically to a family or a doctor that someone has fallen down. You know, and this is small IoT things connected to AI and to Wi-Fi that can help whole people to stay at home. And you have lots of applications about that. You have Glass, I know the name of the startups, that allow people who can't see or have problems to see, to read computers, to read books, and it's translated with AI and, on the language, you know. To people that can't hear things, you have special glasses with AI that can up the volume of the people which is in front of them when they speak. There's a lot of applications that can help silver economy. And this is very important that it's a solution for the planet, because you have a lot of old people and they have problems to live alone in an autonomous way. And AI with IoT tools can help them to recover their independence. Okay. After AI can help people that have this IoT things on their body to measure what is the necessity to go to hospitals or not, you know. And they can measure if they eat something, if it's good or bad for them, you know. There's application of a customer journey, you know. And AI can help people to be more healthy, to eat good things, you know. You know what ChatGPT can do when you take photo on a fridge and ChatGPT can say, oh, with all these 10 things in your fridge, you can make this receipt, which is done, and your robots can do the receipt for you. You know, it's just a chain, not a blockchain, but a chain of things that can help people to live. And we saw in Las Vegas a lot of small startups that if you connect these startups together, you have a solution for people, yeah.
I love you went there because you're connecting things. And I was having a conversation that I just published not too long ago about tech for good. She's from the Netherlands and she wrote this book. And she talks about the fourth industrial revolution, pretty much, where everything comes together. It's not just the technology that evolved, but it's the entire ecosystem that start working one with another. And I think that what you're describing here, what you saw in Las Vegas, is exactly this. There is the piece that is for making a healthy food. There is the piece for preventing bad things to happen in the health department. But also, if things do happen, there's better care, maybe in the hospital. So it's an entire ecosystem that can work together. Am I correct?
It's correct. And, you know, two examples that's in my mind now. It's Netherlands startups. If you have a problem with medics, you know, in a pharmacy, they built a machine which can print on a 3D the medics on demand. Okay, it's not you need to buy 10 box. You just print one medics in 1 second. It's astonishing. And second things, you have a French startup of the CEA that create a small implant you can put here inside your brain, and if the people can't walk with these small things, they succeed that people is walking now. They rebuilt the body of the people. This is just crazy. 2 years ago, it was impossible, and now you can make people like Lazar, you know, resurrection. This guy can walk, and you know, Elon Musk say he will do it. But a small startup in a small country. Have sex in front. Just crazy. You know, just 2 years ago it was impossible.
Yeah. The 1 year, 2 years, I mean 1 year just now of generative AI that has become commercially available with ChatGPT, it's already making a lot of difference. It created a lot of fears, you know, losing work, losing jobs, people don't want kids to cheat in school. They don't want it to use it, but I think they need to use it. They just need to teach how to use it ethically. So because this train has left the station, it's not going to come back. We are going to leave with this, yes. Right?
I speak with the TGV. It's a French train, and don't miss the TGV because, you know, for medics, AI can create new medics that can save people. It's like the glass. Is all time on the middle, and if you are optimistic, you say the glass is good. And I think McKinsey says 100 million of jobs will be created by AI in 2 years. Okay, it will destroy some jobs, but it will. I compare AI to an exoskeleton, numeric exoskeleton that can help people to live better. And for health, it's just astonishing that things can be done quickly, although people will die from disease now, they will prevent the disease. You know, this is the way it will be done.
Yeah, and it's already applied to research for medical, which has been used for a long time, and scanning results from, again, imagery that, you know, can do in few seconds and minutes. That's something that to the human body, mind and eyes would take a very long time, and we know how accurate AI it is when it comes to the vision or the translation, the research and development and all that kind of stuff. I think it's really facilitating the diagnosis of diseases as well. So we already have those examples. I think what is really interesting, I want to stay a little longer there, the augmenting of the body. That's what people start thinking about Mad Max and a very futuristic movie where they can think about robotics and hybrids, human robots, which I know it may be scary. I know it may be a little sci-fi, but ultimately, if you can already, you can see it helping people to walk again. Helping people to have hands when they have lost their hands and rebuild the control of it. I mean, I see every day something new that happens, and I think it's exciting. I think it's marvelous for humanity. But I don't know.
Just two examples, crazy about robotics. I met in CS a company that has robots that is able to detect Ebola on the airport. With the eye, it's find a case of Ebola on the airport because the robot was programmed for that.
Wow.
Second example, the robots of Tesla that can make your washing machine. It was crazy, this example. And this is in your house in 2 days, in 2 years. Okay, in 2 years, it will be in your house. They rent the robots for you.
We'll see. We'll see if Elon is going to keep that date, but definitely going in that direction for sure. So tell me, is that something? I mean, you already mentioned a few things, but something at CES that really, really excites you over on top of the things that you already told me, but also something that maybe made you a little uncomfortable or scare you a little bit, and maybe like, I don't know if we should go in that direction. Have you had that feeling while you were going there?
Smart homes, because Samsung or TCL, they have done complete autonomous smart homes. It means you are in a house and everything is connected. You can't escape from being connected. And in my house, sometimes I prefer to be disconnected. And these companies, they have done everything for you to be connected 24/7. It works very, very well. And it's a little scary for me. You know, it's my point.
Mm.
But it is you will have a Tesla phone, and a Tesla house. This is the ecosystem.
Or an Apple one, depending
on Apple one, if you choose
or depending who you want, and one come from the car and the other one from the phone and computer, but they all want to have everything, they all want to create your own ecosystem, and I think maybe one day we will have to choose: am I going to be a Tesla person, or am I going to who am I going to trust? Which is really going to come down to that: who am I going to trust with my privacy, with my home, and with my health, maybe even with that. Well, it's really, really interesting. And I have a question for you as we finish, because I was interested at the beginning when you said that your background is in art, and then you started playing with the NFT, the blockchain, the Bitcoin. Yeah. Maybe we'll have another episode about this. I'm very interested in the generative use of AI in art, every form of art, to be honest, in writing music, in writing books, but in particular in creating arts. Is it changing the world of art with generative AI and the value that we attribute to artistic jobs from a commercial perspective, from a copyright perspective? I mean, is it something that you see as a positive thing or a negative thing?
Okay, you have different kind of artists, but I know lots of artists in Europe, and most of them use AI to help them to create, okay? They use that as a, as a tool or an exoskeleton. And the fact is, the art market is very conservative. But the artists are not conservative. They want to play with that. And I have lots of examples of people that they are doing the work of art and they're contouring with the eye if it's perfect or if they can enhance the work of art. And, you know, I'm not sure that the market is so conservative about that. AI is a tool. AI is an exoskeleton for me. It won't replace the artist because the creative, the genius is human, and AI can help the genius to be more and more creative. And the artist, when I speak with, they are convinced by the fact AI is a tool, only a tool, not more.
And that's beautiful to hear it. Because I disagree with the people that just decide to refuse it without even trying it. So to know that, and what you said about the artist being by nature inventive and always looking for the next unique thing to improve and be challenged with, I really love that. I don't think there will be progress without people like artists and inventors and scientists that they want to just break the rules and see if we can do something better. So AI as a tool is definitely the way to look at it. So Emmanuel, I want to thank you for the time that you had with me.
Me too.
And I had to hold myself from asking you right away about art because I'm really interested in that. So maybe we'll come back and and we'll talk a little bit more about that.
That's crucial.
Yeah, but so as far as we're going here, I hope I can see you at Viva Tech in Paris this coming summer, which is the CES of Europe, I guess, and that will be fantastic. And in the meantime, I will have all the links for people to get in touch with you, your LinkedIn and your book, which I know for the moment is only in French, but it will be in English translated soon, and get connected with you. And for everybody else that are enjoying this kind of conversation, stay also tuned for many more episodes. Subscribe, and we'll talk again very soon, hopefully, Emmanuel, and with everybody, stay tuned and listen many more nice conversation about society and technology. Thank you very much. Thank you, Emmanuel.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Michael.